Blog Talk Radio.
Gravity. Tonight we'll be possibly talking about the NAACP convention in San Antonio. We're also talking about the meeting between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin in Helsinki, Finland today. Vladimir Putin came across as very knowledgeable and prepared for this speech and congregation of two different people. He was prepared in every aspect in his speech, and he put on a good front. He talked about strategic ways to de-escalate nuclear weaponry. He brought up the INF Treaty and how that must be strengthened. He brought up about a systematic framework to reestablish anti-terrorism. I think he was talking in countries south of Syria. He also mentioned that there should be a useful experience of coordination of action in regards to foreign relations. He brought up the 1974 separation of forces agreement between Israel and Syria and mentioned recent border tensions. He also said the U.S. could be more decisive in nudging Ukrainian leadership. He also bluffed his way through talking highly about how the U.S. and Syria, the U.S. and Russia could help Syria rebuild when it was Russia itself with their arms and their hardware that helped systematically destroy that country. He also brought up an intellectual possibility of engaging experts in bilateral operations, people who are knowledgeable about Russian-U.S. relations and looking for points of contact to coordinate better relations. He talked about the business climate and about the certain conference where over 500 major United States businesses were organized, and he promoted an atmosphere of cooperation. The thing I don't like about Donald Trump's speech on the podium is he read the whole thing. He also, Trump said that he would risk politically to preserve peace versus the other way around. He said that he has much to gain from this meeting with Vladimir Putin, and that in the future he looks forward to working with him, and he thinks that some things can be gained from both leaders examining their countries and what direction to take. Also, we have Don Gallimore on the line. He's been in the NAACP convention for 3 days, and I'm sure he has a lot to tell, so I'm going to pull him in because he's our first caller. Hi, Don. How are you doing?
Hello, everybody. Hey, John. Jane, how you doing?
Good. I kept the introduction brief. We only have a 45-minute show tonight.
Okay.
So the premium is going to get paid later in the week. How is the NAACP convention going this weekend, and could you mention some of the highlights of what they've been discussing?
Okay, well, basically, we've just started. This is our second official day, and we have been talking about how the powers that be, our leaders, and this is the same subject as last year, how our leaders have left us behind, are destroying the nation. And when you can say that the EU is a greater foe than Russia and China and North Korea and whoever else is comparing them to, that should tell you that, you know, he hates not only blacks, but, you know, Hispanics, gays.
He's historically benign.
He's England, you know, you can't stand England, you can't stand Germany, you can't stand France. Nobody can stand England, Germany, and France. So what, you know, there's nothing new. And then, you know, Finland and Switzerland and Sweden, you know, those Swedes are nothing but poor welfare-seeking bastards, according to our president. So we're in a state of flux. Something that we haven't had in a long time, where our leaders are trying to destroy white people, and it's really a beautiful thing. So we're just trying to see where we go from here, and the next 3 days of our conference, of our convention, will be basically to reconnoiter and redirect for our powers, our strength, towards pulling ourselves up from the by our bootstraps, if you will, and making our name. We are, as I said many, many times, the kings and queens of the world, and we've just had to abdicate because of the guns and everything like that. But there, our leadership is destroying itself internally, imploding. So it's just a matter of time. We just have to be patient and watch this train wreck come.
Yeah, I was going to mention something. Vladimir Putin was a lot more prepared for the summit, but Trump did retract some of that European banter later. First he said, yes, European is
prepared.
A foe. You know what? Let me talk, okay? I'm not quoting myself. I'm quoting Donald Trump.
I was quoting myself.
And you didn't let me finish. Okay, he said.
Go ahead.
He said that. He said, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. He said the EU is a foe in the same way that China and Russia have been, like a threat in a sense, because he claims that the EU is not fair traders, blah, 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 blah. But then later on in his statement, he said, well, my mother's from Scotland and my father's from Germany. I love both those countries. I respect those countries. He was kind of like trying to draw a comparison over which European nation is better run. But once again, he contradicts himself by not really being fair either way. With that, I'm going to bring in Wade, and we'll see what he has to say. One moment while I have to get back to the Blog Talk Radio screen.
Can you hear the partying out there?
I'm changing the title, so could you talk a few more seconds until I bring Wade
sure.
in?
No problem.
Okay, thank
no
problem.
You. Yeah, I just want to make sure that the noise level, because I'm in a big party. We're celebrating our president's ball here at the UNACP, so convention in San Antonio, Texas. Not a very lovely place, but we'll work on it. The theme is Don't Hate Vote. And so that is the NAACP theme for this year's convention. And we will take that through the rest of the year so that we can try to make sure that not only are the 7 million people who are not African Americans registered can register and vote, but that we will bring a potential blue wave only to balance things out. And that's my key thing is balance. We're out of balance. We're out of sync. And if you believe in God or the Trinity, you know that it's one of those three. Mind, body, or spirit are out of sync. The body is unhealthy. So one of the main things that I do is make sure people are as imbalanced as possible so that they can live a healthy quality of life. So I hope everyone takes good care of themselves.
So you're already jumping onto a health craze? I would like to hear more about the fundamentals at the NAACP convention. I'm sure you guys
that's
talk
fine.
More about more than your European foes and being on a health kick diet. By the way, Wade, you're in the house.
Hey.
Hi, Wade.
Hi, Wade.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
You didn't have to work, Wade, today?
No. I'm on call tomorrow, though, but not till 9. So that's good. Gives me a little more leeway.
Sure. I'm just going to ask, I'm going to let Don finish the NAACP thing, and then, Don, when you're done, can you give the floor to Wade? I want to know what his take was on the Helsinki Summit. So, Don,
okay,
I'm sure, like, every year when you have this annual NAACP thing, there must be a premise. Like, I know there's more than just speakers. Like, you guys have committees, you meet together, like, tell us what the structure is about this year.
Well, right now we just started. This is basically our second full official day. We started Sunday with our president's meeting and then our branch conference meeting. So we met half the afternoon and then had our president's introduction in at night. And
was John Fitzgerald Johnson there?
No, he's not at this one that I've seen. I haven't necessarily seen everyone in registration. Didn't finish until actually this morning, where I believe most people checked in. But we're here with at the MGM front table at the President's Ball. That's where I'm at right now. If you hear the music in the background, it can't be helped because we are partying pretty hard, but Tony Gladney, MGM, is one of the sponsors, and so we're at his table, we're right in the front. He gave us acknowledgement, and this is something that Nevada Branch, Reno Sparks, in Las Vegas, in the NAACP is front and center right now. So that's a plus that we get that acknowledgement around the country. And if everyone is looking at our branch, our part of our country, we've got a couple of people who have acknowledged that they will be looking into, or their children will be looking into moving to Reno Sparks area. So that's an aside. But today we've been in our regional meetings. We've also had our plenary meetings, which we were able to have the Castro brothers, who did The Castros. One's the congressman here in Texas, and the other is his twin brother.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Right. So we have the Castros. We've had Derek Johnson, the president, CEO of UNACP, give his president's speech this morning. And then we had several workshops today, our first real workshop. But this has been a very eventful day, as always. We're annual participants. Detroit, Michigan is going to be our next one next year. But we're looking at the rest of the convention here, and I'm not quite sure who our keynote speaker is. I don't believe that we invited, or if we did invite President Trump, he has not, or it has not been told to us that
he accepted.
Well,
he's in Finland today.
By the way, Ben just joined us.
I didn't realize the NAACP convention just started. I thought it started like on Friday.
Well, we got here Friday, and basically we take a day to get the lay of the land and acclimate ourselves to the time change and the general climate change. And we like to go and venture out to see the sights. And then the Saturday is their official, unofficial branch and executive meetings that we go through. What we did last year, and then throughout the year to this point. So we get to discuss all of the problems around the country and the individual branches and bring those up so that we can see if we can rectify them, incorporate them, or throw them out. And that's when we start working on the resolutions of our platform. It's Saturday.
Okay.
And then
that's good
Sunday
enough. I have an idea what it's about now. I just want to revamp. Just a moment, please.
Sure. Bless you.
Tonight we're talking about two things, and we have four hosts on the line, and we only have 30 minutes left, so we kind of have to speed along. The first part was an introduction I did that only Don got wind of. I will just briefly repeat it. Vladimir Putin said he would like to work on the de-escalation of the nuclear presence throughout continued agreements that have existed over time. He would like to work on the INF Treaty. Who's ever rattling that, please don't. He would like to reestablish an anti-terrorist network, even though he indirectly contributed to it by breaking down Syria. He would like the U.S. and Russia to equally help Syrians return home and restore that region, even though I won't mention the hypocrisy of them selling arms and warfare to that country and destroying it single-handedly with the Syrians. He mentioned border tensions between Israel and Syria and the 1974 Separation of Forces Agreement that both Israel and Syria had. He stated he would like more bilateral relations between the U.S. and Russia in the scope of having experts getting involved and guiding and coordinating relations. Supposedly there's people who could come out of the woodwork to do that who have had that type of experience in the past. And he wants to work on the business climate of both nations. Trump talked about exchanging politics for peace, doing what's best for America. He mentioned the private meetings with Putin was successful and that he learned about more about the country in its breadth and depth. He also looked forward to future relations and to, but then later on, I'm not sure if he was talking to the press or he made these comments during the summit. He stated that the EU is a foe in the way that they have imbalanced trade agreements in the same way China is. I thought that was in poor taste, being that he was standing in the middle of Europe. With that, I'm going to bring Ben in. One second. Hi, Ben. You're on the air with Wade, Don, and I.
Hey, Ben.
Hello.
So So John briefly told us about the NAACP and what the mechanisms are, what they work on. I did two briefings so far on Russia, and we're also on limited time tonight. What's on your mind?
Well, I think it was a good meeting. At least it was good speeches.
I agree.
I thought
Putin was really on his game. I mean, he talked a good talk, at least.
If you listen to the translated speeches that he's given, he usually has a lot of common sense. The left narrative,
he knows
that he's
a lot.
Demon, I mean, the left narrative that he's some sort of a supervillain demon, it doesn't work if you listen to what he's saying. And when you said Russia indirectly helped against defeating ISIS, or help defeat ISIS. They were directly defeating ISIS against Obama.
No, I didn't say anything about ISIS. I said that they indirectly aided in the destruction of Syria with their weaponry and hardware.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Obama didn't want
to
go in there and fix the problem. But Russia did, because they have
assets. Well, the problem was really with Syria itself. See, Syrians had a stronghold of people that did not want to be part of that government anymore, Bashar al-Assad's government, and they weren't going to give up, but they were terrorized for it.
We did a show breaking down the four main factions of the people, and it's when you're trying to defeat one faction, when they bond with other factions, it's hard to separate who's who.
Well, I've done
every
state shows on Syria and Turkey in the last 3 years. That's my area.
If we were trying to support rebels, so if the United States was trying to support rebels in a civil uprising, and then they link arms with ISIS, we defeat ourselves. We shoot ourselves in the foot, because Russia had one goal: to kill ISIS and to maintain the government that was already in place. We didn't want to maintain Assad's government, so we weren't there for a reason.
Okay,
all we
I do
had
want
was
to
opinion.
Mention one thing, though, Ben. And we're kind of getting off task already, because we're kind of discluding Wade and Don. The thing is that you can't deny that Russia helped with the destruction of Syria. It's obvious. Maybe their cause was higher, but that didn't have anything to do with no matter what their cause, there's over 2 million Syrians that are displaced. Half their towns are destroyed to smithereens. There's dead children and dead bodies everywhere, and they did no good. Don't blame it on Obama for not getting involved. We were already in.
I am blaming it on Obama. What kind of weapons was ISIS using against people? What kind of weapons? Was it American
weapons?
Probably
ours that they stole from the Iraqis.
Where did that big shipment of weapons go that went through Benghazi that got taken? ISIS came right after that. That was our weapons deal.
That was only one isolated incident. And Libya was already destabilized at that point.
Okay.
Wade, go ahead and talk when you want to. You can interrupt me.
Sure.
Go
ahead. I didn't know the specifics of that, some of those things you're talking, but I'll weigh in when I know something. But go on. I interrupted you.
Well, what I want to say is I am going to fight Ben on this in some level, because, first of all, America itself single-handedly created a destabilized situation in Iraq. Sometimes it's better to leave a dictator in the hands of a dictator, because Libya was worse off without Gaddafi, and Iraq is worse off without Hussein, except for at least if they were going to die, they knew why and how. Here that I even just said that. But now that it's all over and 10 years have passed, the whole region became destabilized because Syrians and Iraqis used to be joined by the Ba'ath Party, and the Ba'ath Party had a unified Arabic front way beyond the corridors of Muslim Brotherhood.
Right, but the balance is there because there was a yin-yang. If you take out the yin or the yang, the other one gains more power. So Iraq and Iran were basically balancing each other out. Libya,
but you know,
Libya wanted out of
the... I don't really want to argue about this tonight, but Russia directly supported, with military involvement, for at least 5 years in the Syrian conflict. They also supported Bashar al-Assad, even though his own citizens said he was corrupt and he should have gotten out of there. And they dragged it out for years, and a lot of people died. And that's the way I see it.
Okay.
Whether the U.S. got involved or not, Russia was fucking it up. And that's
they
what Russia does.
They have assets there. They have a base there. They don't want their own base and their own military equipment taken by ISIS. So, of course, they're going to defend it. They're going to help Bashar al-Assad keep his country because they can deal with him in a business fashion. If they let ISIS take over with American weapons, then they're going to have American weapons and Russian weapons. And then the country's gone, and then all their business deals with pipelines and this and that is off the table. Of course they're going to defend it.
That's fine. If anything, the thing is though, is that they're aiding and abetting to the destruction of the world and countries that are unable to help themselves on their own. In September 2015, the Russian Federation Council, their upper house of parliament, authorized Russia to use armed forces in Syria, even though they were there earlier. Russia acknowledged that Russian strikes target not only ISIL, but rebel groups like the Army of Conquest and al-Nusra, which was a form of a connection to the al-Qaeda Syrian branch. So you're right. We've been through this. We've talked about it. But the fact that, well, let me just ask you this. What do you think Trump's foreign policy impact is going to be when he says the EU might be a formidable foe in the same way China is? Is he going to water down all of the potential longstanding allies, and who's going to like this after his presidency is over with?
I've heard some bad things about the EU, so I'm not sure he's wrong about concerns. It seems they're getting very authoritarian. They're red taping. What I've been hearing is they're red taping these countries in Europe. It's not just a trade agreement, but they're actually making a lot of restrictions on how they can and can't do business. And the other thing I'm hearing is that the leaders of the EU are not elected. So that doesn't sound very democratic, and it doesn't sound like freedom.
Wade, the economic network that the EU has with, like, the same money value system, they do have a lot of rules and restrictions. And main reason Trump doesn't like Europe is because he doesn't think their military contributes to NATO enough. That's his main beef.
I don't know. That may be true. I don't know.
You know, I don't want to think of Russia as a big enemy either. I don't. The thing is that they dominate.
Your party, the people that you put in office, they want you to think that way, and you keep putting them in office. If you call yourself a Democrat and vote for people that think that Russia is the big bad wolf, you're putting them in there. You're going to put us into
a
war.
It's not because I'm a Democrat. It's because I'm a Christian, and the Bible prophesizes against Russia.
It doesn't matter. If you don't vote your values, then you're going to vote for war. If you look at what the Democratic Party says, The Democratic Party is
gone. Well, you know what?
I
don't want to be that
anymore.
Narrow because I'm an international foreign policy expert. You know, Russia goes all the way from Eastern Europe to the Korean Peninsula. They could have a much more effective role in the world if they weren't just so obsessed with themselves and territorial expansion.
Then you should do your homework on who you're planning to elect. Don't just vote for the D.
Well, maybe I'm... How do you even know
morons.
If I'm going to vote in 2020? I might vote for a third party.
You know, that is... Some people say that's throwing your vote away, but if everybody decided
not to vote for
RV... Well,
you're looking at me as a target in the same way you would look at Don as a target. You know, we're not the bad guys.
No, I've come to the realization that the Democratic Party as far as the 60s Democratic Party is gone. Now it's anti-American. So if you're going to vote for somebody with the D behind their
changed.
Name, you can't be proud of a Democrat vote now.
The Democrats used to be the ones that protected labor unions and like coal miners and workers, and now it's the Republican Party promoting those types of industries. So your party has changed, and so has ours. Just because I'm Democrat doesn't mean I'm a gay-loving mongrel or somebody of that vein or that I'm pro-life or pro-abortion.
I'm okay
or whatever
with being gay-loved. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, like, don't lump me in a category is what I'm saying. I don't embrace everything.
Yeah, we all have
issue.
Unique.
But
yeah,
since
which
John
is, I've noticed
the
that.
Vortex, yeah, go ahead. Wait, I'd like for you to comment a little more instead of me.
Oh,
yeah,
no, I see
that
you got some independent point of views, and I think that's good.
I'm really only interested in Middle East foreign policy. If you're looking for someone to attack, find some mainstream Democrat.
I'm not attacking.
I'm sure
you.
Don.
I'm not attacking you as Jane Hoffman. I'm attacking people who keep voting for the people who prove themselves to be anti-American. That's
well,
my
you
general.
Know, I don't really
like
care
that.
About the Mueller investigation or if Russia meddled with the elections, because yes, they proved that Russia did meddle with some aspect of the election. But it was the American people who voted Trump in out of default. And I'm going to let Don comment because he has more to say about this than I do.
Well, the only thing is that, you know, I have been talking just before the election that he was probably going to win and how I admire at least his the way that he does things in general. Not in general,
well, you brought that up last week, so be more specific.
No. I mean the way that he is able to manipulate everyone, he's a master at that, and I got to admire him because I do. You know, I mean, the lobby business, the journalism. So that's the main thing. But he's gone too far now. He's gone farther than I ever thought he would. I knew that he would have at least two Supreme Court justice nominees. So that's something that I expected. I did not expect him to bend over and be butt-fucked by Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un.
Nice language.
Played him. Un played him like a fiddle. And Putin, I wouldn't doubt if they're bit but buddy. The way that they act between each other, Putin's the top and Trump is the bottom. So this is, you know.
Did you listen to the speech?
Yeah, I mean, no, I didn't. But I don't.
No,
I mean,
you didn't. It's apparent.
No.
You're just speaking from emotion.
I'm not talking about the speech. This, I mean, when he came out, I mean, this whole thing started, of course, when Mitch McConnell said that he would never work with that president. That was treason. All the other thing, a lot of these things that Donald Trump is doing are un-American, just like you said you did not want to see. This is treasonous. A lot of things that he's doing,
if you bring up that word treason, you better understand what it means and you better have something to back it up with. Because I could go down the line on the last few presidents who actually did commit, in my opinion, treason.
Oh, they all do. But this is this one. And when you have a president who voted in questionably, you know, he knows that he
there's
did
no,
not win.
There's no question.
Popular vote.
There's no question about how Donald Trump won the election.
Hey, 12 people have been indicted.
There are electoral college.
12 Russians have been indicted.
There are still elections. There are still voting booths that are in question, Ben. This is not a clean
election. Don, did you hear Rosenstein give his statement and said that not one American vote was manipulated by Russia? Not one American vote was changed or manipulated by Russia. That's not even what they're investigating.
Right. Well, that's
Maria Butina was arrested today.
Who?
Maria Butina was arrested, a Russian, for trying to organize a meeting with Trump and Putin before the election.
Well, the 12 oligarchs are trying to extradite, and now I guess she's one of them.
Mueller doesn't care about real collusion. He's trying to fabricate collusion.
Right,
because if he really cared, he would have cared about the entire Uranium One deal. Nobody cares about that anymore.
That should have been. They should all be in jail, Ben. You're not getting it, man. All these white folks are corrupt. They are. They're terrible. They're bad for the country. You can see they're bad for business. I'm here in San Antonio, and it's just one notch above Detroit. You know, they come in these cities, they construct things, they let them disintegrate, and then they leave. That is not American.
Would you be happy if we went to war with Russia? Because that's what the left keeps pushing.
No, there is no war. I don't know what left you're talking about. The fucking left here in California, where we're peace, they're peace, love, and happiness. All we want to do is give
I don't think so.
Fun.
The NAACP is
the left. A lot of the left in California are hateful. I don't see that. There's like hating white people and hating men.
I don't know where you're coming from. They may have problems in their own communities with other people of their color, the same color, but in terms of hatefulness, people in California go about their business. They don't talk to anyone. They don't interact. They don't.
I have not experienced that. They are so into other people's business. When I was there, like, why are you dressing that way? Why do you do that? Like,
are you serious? You must be. I mean, I
can
see it in Orange County. I can see it in Orange County, but I can't see
it
in
L.A. County.
L.A., I can't. Where? Where in the world is somebody going to criticize somebody?
Don, how can you actually sit there and say that L.A. is one kind of people, one kind of view?
There is no view. I'm saying there is no view.
It's a melting pot, and the manipulation game works on the masses. So
right.
If it's a heavy blue city or area, they're going to hate whoever the media tells them to hate. I can see it going, because I work in a heavy blue area. I don't get into politics with people that I work for because I'll never get any work. I keep my mouth shut, but I see how much they hate everything about what I stand for.
But that's
what
I'm
saying. Look at people getting
the
crap beat out of them in Berkeley.
Oh, no, that's
and look at their leadership. The mayor of Berkeley he might as well be wearing a black mask and be marching with Antifa.
But that's okay. I see your point in terms of the fact that there's polarization.
When I moved away,
I've seen neighbors who will never talk. You can live there 30 years and you will never talk to your neighbors, ever.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Wade. What were you going to say?
Oh, I mean, just when I moved away from California, I was like, oh my gosh, people don't have double standards. They're not into my business. People aren't constantly criticizing me and why you do this? Why is your car dirty? Blah, you know, like, you know, people leave me alone. Once I left, like, I was always like in some argument with people in California, like having to argue about why my car's dirty, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I'm in Nevada, and one of the reasons I left California was because of something like that. It's not necessarily always a personal thing, but they do like to have a communal homogeny, if you will. That's definitely, the keeping up with the Joneses is definitely a factor, a huge factor in California. But in terms of them explaining it, or being verbal about it, only when they feel that their civil rights are, you know, have been abrogated, are they going to say anything. And unfortunately, their criticism level is such that a dirty car could warrant a criticism. But in general, they are laid back. They don't want anybody in their business. All they want to do is, you know, take your money and be immoral. And that's the extent of their existence. And, you know, as John, he's been, you know, he hasn't necessarily.
I wouldn't want to overgeneralize entire city. But
all right.
I guess to get back to saying, I'm not attacking Jane for being a Democrat, but what's frustrating to me is seeing, like on Twitter or on the mainstream, senators like Elizabeth Warren coming out and saying that Trump embarrassed our country once again. Does she even realize that she represents Republicans and independents and libertarians in her own district, and she is not speaking for them?
Well,
she's speaking for her main base, which is far, far, far left. And the far left has become anti-American.
Well, I mean, anti-American is universal. I saw Elizabeth 3 weeks ago, and her message is more or less the same, you know, labor, universal health care, no guns. I don't know how un-American that is, because the American
All three of those are un-American. You're talking about slavery and defenseless population and democracy. When you have those three, then the dictators can control everything about your life. That is not what America was. It was never supposed to be. That's what we had with England.
Exactly. That's why we had to go to the war with them. But I don't know if ARs and AKs are American. They're made in America, and they're used by
America. It doesn't matter. We're not splitting hairs on the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is broad. It means the populace can be armed.
If you're a member of a well-regulated militia, nobody is a well-regulated militia.
So, okay, do you understand the definition of a militia?
Yeah, it's a state-run army.
Wrong. It's the entire point of a militia in the first place is that it's not a part of the government of a state or the country. Every fighting man, woman, and child can be part of a militia.
Right.
That's the point. You can't call a militia part of the government, because that defeats the purpose.
Right.
Because the government can go bad.
Right.
Right. It's to stop the government from going bad. But there is some kind of regulation or licensing or something that I'm sure, and I'm not sure about this, but I'm almost, you know, I would assume that a person who is officially a part of the militia would have to sign up for or be a part of. And I don't have evidence supporting that as an official militia person, but